We're continuing our sermon series on the book of Romans, which last week Pastor Deborah noted that we didn't have the light summer reading for June and July with Romans, and I think she's right. And this is an incredibly important book, but it's also a book that can be a bit difficult to wade through. So we're in this together, and luckily we're in it with the Holy Spirit guiding us. The Apostle Paul explains that the righteousness of God is revealed through Jesus. While we have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, we are made right by placing our faith in Jesus, who demonstrated the faithfulness of God, because we believe in God who keeps his promises. So as we study Romans, may we deepen our understanding of the gospel and live by faith. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may gain a deeper understanding of your gospel and the calling for us as the church. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So the passage begins, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago." What does Paul mean? Does the law, the commandments, not apply to us? Of course not. As Paul indicates later, we fulfill the law through faith. The law is written on our hearts. We are made right through Jesus. Jesus said that he fulfilled the law and the prophets. He told us he did not come to abolish them. Through Jesus, God's righteousness is revealed. Paul begins the verse with "now," and that's important because the way to be made right with God has already occurred. This isn't something that's going to happen way in the future. It's already occurred. It occurred through Jesus, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We are now made right with God. In verse 22, it says, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are." We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And when Paul says this is true for everyone, he means Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female. Paul is writing this letter to the Roman church, which was predominantly Gentile. There was a time prior to this writing where people who were Jewish were forced out of Rome. Some of them were allowed to come back in. So he's writing to a Gentile church, and there are elements in his letter, and particularly in this section, that are very much dependent upon the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, if you will, the writing of the law and the prophets. But a lot of times he doesn't mention it expressly. It's implied. Let us be mindful that all who believe in Jesus are made right with God, and let us proclaim this good news to others, to everyone whom we encounter. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. We know this verse. I think so many of us who've grown up in faith know this verse by heart. And there are certain things I think that we, and I mean me, too, can take for granted because it's just there. And so I think it's important for us to pause and contemplate this verse, to acknowledge that we have all sinned. We all fall short of God's standards. And again, Paul is referring to both Jews and Gentiles. So there's no excuses, no rationalizations, no justifications for our behavior. Nothing. We need to acknowledge, and so we do, that we have sinned. We do this every Sunday with our confession. This is part of the human condition. By falling short, Paul means the fall. So this is what he's implying. The fall, when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And dear friends, when we seek to do our will and not God's will, we are engaging in rebellion. God knows that this is part of the human condition. God loves us. And so God rescued us from this condition. This powerful verse helps us be humble and realize our need for God, for salvation. Without God's promise to be rescued, to rescue us, which was fulfilled in Jesus, we would be hopeless. We would have no hope were it not for God's perfect plans for us through Jesus. So we have hope. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of sin. Through grace, God freely makes us right in God's sight. This is an amazing gift. We didn't earn it. We can never earn this gift. God freed us from the penalty of sin through Jesus. Now, there are other Bible translations that use the term redeemed. And I think it's important to contemplate the term redeemed, because the term redemption reminded people of slaves whose freedom was purchased by a generous individual who then allowed the person to go free. Many people in the Roman Empire were slaves. If you think about how Rome expanded through conquest, and Rome had a lot of slaves. And so when they hear redeemed, redemption, they understand freedom from slavery. It reminded people of God who freed the Israelites from Egypt, because God opposes oppression. God gives us freedom. Humans are slaves to sin, and we cannot free ourselves. We said that in our opening confession, where we are bound to sin, the bondage of sin, and we cannot free ourselves. But God can, and God does. In verse 25, for God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sins. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus was sacrificed, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. God is pure and holy. God does not tolerate sin. Righteousness required the penalty for sins. Sin cannot be overlooked. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be downgraded. There's nowhere in the Bible God says, hey, it's okay. I know you didn't mean it. That's not what God says. What God instead says is God offers us forgiveness. God loves us unconditionally. We sang about that. Of God is the good, good Father. It's who God is, and we are loved, and that's who we are. So to satisfy the penalty of sin, Jesus died on the cross. This is mercy. This is grace. This is love. The shedding of Jesus' blood alludes to the shedding of blood of sacrifices on the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the priest would enter the temple to offer sacrifices for the people of God's sins. Blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat, but it had to be repeated annually. Every year, the priests had to go into the temple, and there were sacrifices that occurred throughout the year for people to be made pure from the sin. But it didn't last. When Jesus died on the cross, this sacrifice was sufficient. It was enough. As Jesus said when he died, just before he died, when he was on the cross, it is finished, once and for all. Israel, the descendants of Abraham, were intended to be a blessing, through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. Reconciled with God. they couldn't live up to that. And of course, neither can we. Jesus, a descendant of Abraham and the Son of God, because remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine, Jesus was faithful to God's perfect plans and reconciled all who believe in him to God through his blood. So let us with grateful hearts acknowledge Jesus' loving sacrifice and Jesus' faithfulness, because Jesus was faithful. In verse 26, for he, of course meaning God, was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. God is fair and just. Sinners are now right in God's sight when they believe in Jesus. We are forgiven. Let us pause and contemplate that. We are forgiven. We're washed clean by the blood of Christ through mercy and grace, so that we may be reconciled with a pure and holy God. And God's righteousness is revealed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God is faithful to God's promises. So Paul continues in verse 27, and Paul loves to ask rhetorical questions, and so here's one of them. Can we boast then that we've done anything to be accepted by God? And of course, Paul's answer is no. No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So, dear friends, we do not trust in our own righteousness. We do not trust in ourselves. We trust in God, and we have faith in Jesus. Verse 28, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. He goes on, after all, is God the God of Jews only? Isn't he the God of Gentiles also? Of course he is. There is only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. There are no outsiders with God. Remember, Jesus, when he described himself as the good shepherd, said, there are many in my flock, and I must go to bring the other sheep. Jesus has already envisioned that all the nations will be united. That's God's plan. That's God's plan from the beginning. We see that in Genesis, when God speaks the blessing to Abraham. God always had a plan, and the plan is fulfilled in Jesus. All people are made right with God by faith alone, the faithfulness of Jesus and our faith in Jesus. If you study the scriptures, you may at some point come across this debate between the Bible scholars. Well, are we made right by the faithfulness of Jesus, faith of Jesus, or are we made right by the faith in Jesus? Now, the Greek, the way the Greek is constructed, You know there's a preposition there, but you don't know the meaning of the preposition. And of and in are pretty different. And so years ago when I was in a Bible study with my friends, I was explaining this to them of, you know, all these great, you know, scholars who've written papers and papers after. And my friend looked at me and said, well, that's silly. Of course, it's both. And she's right. So, you know, thank you, N.T. Wright. Thank you, John Piper. Thank you for your engaging in the debate. But it is both. We are saved by the faith of Jesus, because Jesus was the one faithful person, and we are made right by our faith in Jesus. Martin Luther concluded that justification is by faith alone, sola fide. So may we live life through faith, trusting in God, knowing that we are justified by faith alone. Paul concludes chapter 3 with this amazing verse. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Again, another Paul rhetorical question, which he answers, of course not. In fact, Only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. We do not forget about the law, dear friends. We do not forget about the commandments. When we have faith, we truly fulfill the law. It is written on our hearts. And since we have faith in Jesus, we can have a relationship with God. And we want to do what is good and pleasing to God in response to this relationship. We cannot earn salvation by works. We have good works, fruit, from our relationship with God in response to God's love. We want to be pleasing to the Father. We want to be more and more Christ-like, knowing, though, that those works will not save us. We're already saved because of Jesus. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Dear Lord, we praise you that you have perfect plans and that you knew that we were bound in this sinful condition and that was not your plans. And so you've redeemed us through Jesus, and we thank you and we praise you for that. And we ask that you help us to be mindful of that and to receive your forgiveness, to receive your love. Help us to do the works that you have planned for us, not for our salvation. Our salvation is already secured, but because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.